So the Levite went in. The Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Let's pray. Dear God, just thank you for your word. Please just be a pastor now as he preaches, and just help us to hearken to your word as it's preached. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, we're in Judges chapter 17. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 5. It says, and the man Micah had an house of gods and made an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And the title of the sermon this morning is Woe Unto Chaz, Why Anarchy is Unbiblical. Woe Unto Chaz, Why Anarchy is Unbiblical. Now, we're living in the Twilight Zone in 2020, folks. Okay, this is a movie, all right? This has been the year, one of the biggest soap operas of the last decade, you know, from the potential World War III to coronavirus, to the quarantine, to murder hornets, to protests and riots, all the way leading up to literally a group of people that have seceded from the United States of America to create their own country, called the country of Chaz, within the city limits of downtown Seattle, Washington. This is something you find in some low-budget movie. But this is reality. This is happening today in 2020. Now, what is Chaz? Well, Chaz stands for the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Okay, this is the 196th country, apparently, that exists now. And it's the result of an insurrection that has been carried out by protesters who are basically defacing civil society and destroying the land, protesting, rioting. And there is an occupation now in Seattle, Washington, where literally these inhabitants have driven out the police officers and hijacked 6 to 7 entire blocks, including the police department. Okay, they've expelled every officer from the precinct there. They've set up barricades with people who have armed guns. They have weapons there, you know, impeding people from coming in and basically giving them the third degree if they do. It's been complete and utter chaos. And it is a result. You say, why is this happening? How is something like this able to take place? How is something like this where literally, the 196th country has been established within the United States of America, 6 or 7 blocks of it. How is it that that took place? Well, I'll tell you how. It's the result of not having strong leaders.
Right.
It's the result when you have weak leadership or when there's an absence of leadership, you have the most wicked people taking over and try to establish their own form of government. It's basically when every man does that which is right in their own eyes. All right. The Bible says in verse 6, in those days, there was no king in Israel. So we see this is no new thing under the sun, right? Anytime there's no governor or government, anytime there's no leader, anytime there's no one there to basically keep the civil, society in check, what happens? Every man does that which is right in their own eyes. People may think this sounds good, you know. People say, well, you know, hey, folks, anarchy, you know, it's not necessarily anarchy. We're just kind of trying to live in a utopian society. Everyone's at peace, and we can just roam the streets as we will and kind of do whatever we want. But here's the thing. That's not biblical. And don't think that the Garden of Eden, this is a picture of the Garden of Eden at all. You know, the Garden of Eden had God as its ruler. And even within the bounds of the children of Israel, when they were established as a nation, God was their king, establishing laws and rules, so on and so forth. Anarchy has never been part of God's plan. And in fact, when you have anarchy, it ultimately leads to the strongest taking advantage of the weak. Just keep that in mind. You know, when you have a group of people say, well, this is the best way to do it. We need to have our own rule. Yeah, but who's the ruler? We need to live in peace. Yeah, but what's your definition of peace? Yeah, but we need to make sure we don't have any type of authority, any type of consequences to breaking the law. Yeah, but according to who? See, at that point, you have that person who's the one who's, you know, coming up with this idea of, you know, being rebellious against the government. They actually become the standard. Okay? What is anarchy? It's a state of disorder due to the absence of authority, and it's not biblical. It's wicked as hell. Okay. Now, what we see happening in the country of Chaz is simply a reflection of the principles taught here in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 17 is one of those strange stories where you literally have a man making a molten image. He recruits a Levite to be a priest unto him, and he basically just creates his own house church, his house temple, so to speak. And he's doing this because he wants to, okay? You know, he's not sanctioned or ordained of God to carry out this temple or to you know, ordain a Levite to be a father unto him or to be a priest unto him. This is not something that was sanctioned by God. This is just something that came out of his own heart to create his own religion, his own way of worshiping, and it wasn't right, okay? Now, this is what's happening in Judges 17. Go with me, if you would, to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter number 2. Judges chapter number 2. Now look, folks, as Christians, we should not be opposed to authority. Amen. Now what we are opposed to is when authority overreaches its bounds and seeks to cause Christians, Bible-believing Christians, to sin by their laws. You know, if the government or authority seeks to come in here and say, well, you guys can't pray. Oh, you're telling me I can't pray in the house of God, which is the house of prayer? You know, you guys can't sing, you can't pray, you can't preach the word of God. This is the law. At that point, we ought to obey God rather than man, right, according to the Bible. You can't go out there and preach the gospel and see people saved. At that point, we ought to obey God rather than man. Yeah. Because the Bible tells us that there is the higher powers, and we are to obey the higher powers. Obviously, the government is a power, but guess what? There's a government that is higher than him, that is higher than the government itself here in the United States, and that's God. Amen. Okay? You know, yeah, but I'm a constitutionalist. Well, this is my constitution right here. Amen. This is where I get my laws and my rules. And by the way, this book tells me to be subject to the government to the point where if they were to ask me to do something wicked, obviously at that point, we completely reject that. We don't partake in that at all. What happens when there is absence of authority? Well, a society plummets into corruption. Look at Judges chapter 2, verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. Don't judge! Well, God raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. So what was the responsibility of the judge? To deliver people, right? And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge. And deliver them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and what? Had a utopian society? No. They corrupted themselves more than their fathers. So what happens when there is an absence of authority? Corruption. In following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them, they cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Absence of authority equals corruption, equals wickedness, equals violence, equals rioting, equals the violation of innocent people. It always happens. It's biblical. Now, what eventually happens to a peaceful, utopian, carefree society? You know, what happens to society like this? You know, there's people out there in the country of Chaz that maybe a couple days ago they thought this was a good idea, but a couple days in they're thinking, actually, this is not a good idea. Because there's people here who are stronger than me. They seem to be evil. And they're trying to take over my business. They're seeking to extort me. It doesn't pan out anymore. Go to Judges 18. I'm going to show you an example of this. And the reason I'm using the book of Judges is because the book of Judges is a perfect example of what happens when there is no king, when there is no magistrate, when there is no judge, and it shows us the consequence of that type of society. Look at Judges 18, verse 5. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we shall go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace, before the Lord is your way wherein you go. Then the five men departed and came to Laish. You can put in parentheses, Chaz. And saw the people that were therein, how they dwell careless. What does that mean? They're carefree. Roaming the streets, there's an apple on the floor, eat it, use the restroom wherever you want. dwell careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land. There you go. When there's no magistrate, do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. Every man does that which is right in their own eyes. Everything's hunky-dory. That they might put them, so it says, there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. So he's saying this. He's saying they're dwelling carelessly. They're kind of just doing whatever they want. And there's no magistrate there that will put them to shame. So there's no leader there to basically correct their wicked ways. Okay. And they came unto their brethren, verse 8, to Zorah and Eshtol. And their brethren said unto them, what say ye? And they said, arise that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Be not slothful to go and to enter and to possess the land. So basically what he's saying is this. These people are just ripe for the taking. You know, they're dwelling carelessly. There's no magistrate to deliver them. Take the land. Skip down to verse 26. And the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back into his house. Now, picture this. Micah is the guy who created his own religion, had his own graven images, just doing things completely anti the word of God, just not ordained of God, not sanctioned by God, yet he's the one who's being jacked by the Danites. Because they come and they just go into his house, they take his teraphims and all his treasures or whatever and his molten images, and he's like, hey, come back, you can't do that. And they're just kind of like, are you going to stop us? And they literally tell him, and I'm paraphrasing here, they basically say, hey, you need to keep your mouth shut unless you want to get hurt. Let me put it in 2020 terms. They punked him. They punked him for his stuff, okay? This is where we find ourselves here, okay? Verse 27. And they took the things which Micah had made and the priests which he had. So not only did they take his things, they took his employee. Yeah, you come with us too. They took the things which Micah had made and the priests which he had and came into Laish unto a people that were at quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword. And look what it says, and burnt the city with fire. Isn't that something that we've seen in recent days? They came in there and just destroyed them, smote them with the edge of the sword, burned them with fire. And look what it says in verse 28. And there was no deliverer. You know, because they didn't want a magistrate telling them what to do. They didn't want some governor telling them what to do. Okay, now when you need help, because you're being extorted by these wicked people, now there's no magistrate, which equals no deliverer. Folks, no magistrate, no deliverer. Because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man. We want to be our own country. Yeah. And it was in the valley that lieth in Beth Rehob, and they built a city and dwelt therein. Folks, this is what we're looking at today in 2020 in the country of Chaz. Now, let me say this, is Chaz is not that, you know, advanced as of yet, okay? Because they're completely against the police, and, you know, they took over the police department. And look, I preached a sermon called The Police in Light of the Bible, and I showed specifically what the Bible says about the police, but I literally said at the end of the sermon, because if you say, well, if you're against the police, are you going to call them? I said, yes, I would, because I pay their salary. I pay taxes, folks. And this is the land in which we live. I live in the United States of America. This is the type of government that we have. So you know what? If someone's doing something and, you know, they're breaking in, I'm going to call the police. If they are assaulting someone, I'm going to call the police. I'm not saying they're going to do an excellent job or anything like that, you know, but that's who I'm going to call. Now, look, the funny thing is that these guys in Chaz, they're completely against the police, right? But literally, if people are getting assaulted, who are they calling? The police. Define irony, okay? They're already getting foreign aid. Because literally, the mayor is sending in porta-potties and all these things. And it's just like, we hate the government. Can we use a porta-potty, please, though? Can you send like 5 of them in here? We need help and all this stuff. It's nonsense. A bunch of children over there. It's like when a kid says they're going to run away, and they only get it like a block away, because then at that point they run out of their Twizzlers and resources and candy. You realize they got to come back anyways, you know? But this is exactly what we see. The country of Chaz is the equivalent to Laish. And that is going to be the result of Laish, in fact, or of Chaz. And in fact, that's exactly what we see today in 2020. Even today, people are being violated out there, you know, because they don't have an economic system over there. So what are they doing? They're extorting businesses out there. Oh, that's very peaceful. Yeah, for the person who's extorting. But what about for the ones who are being extorted? It's wicked, folks. Obviously, I'm not for our government. I'm for small government, okay? But here's the thing, folks. You can't take out Romans 13 out of the Bible. It's still there, okay? Now, let me give you a couple reasons why anarchism, which is exactly what's taking place over there, why anarchism is unbiblical. It's wicked. It's unbiblical. And I'm going to show you why this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5. First and foremost, reason number one why anarchism is unbiblical is because anarchists reject all bodies of government. They reject all bodies of government. The reason the people of Chaz have hijacked Capitol Hill and removed the police and governmental authority is because of their hatred for leadership. They don't want people telling them what to do. They don't want anyone governing their way of life or issuing laws or, you know, there being consequences to breaking their laws. They want to live in this fantasy utopian society where every individual governs themselves. They want to live in peace, but they want to force that by means of violence. Okay. Now, is God against government? No. And in fact, every institution that God has established has a boss, folks. For example, the institution of the home is an institution where the husband is in charge. I know in 2020 that's not popular, and you know you have your feminists out there who hate that type of speech, but it's biblical, folks. In fact, look at Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now let me ask you this: who's in charge of the church? Jesus. He's the head of the church. I am the under shepherd. Jesus Christ is the boss. So the parallel that we're looking at here is that just as Christ is the boss of the church, guess what the Bible says? The husband is the head of the wife. Now, if that rubs you the wrong way, it's only because you've been duped by society, you've been duped by the culture and Hollywood and all this nonsense that has taught you anti-biblical principles, folks. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. I don't see there being equal leadership here. Okay? Now, people take what I say and they say this, oh, you're just saying like you're more important than in essence than a woman or something. I'm not saying that. Not at all. We're talking about levels of authority. In order for a successful business to run, it has to have someone who's in charge.
Right.
You know, you can't have a business where everyone's in charge because everyone's going to do their own thing. You need one person to make the decision.
Yep.
You need one person to rule. Now, and the household should be ruled as a benevolent dictatorship.
Yeah.
Benevolent. Okay?
Amen.
So you have the home. God established the home, not against the government, because he says the man is in charge.
Right.
Now, by the way, that also basically tells us that everything rises and falls on leadership. And if the man drops the ball, he can't blame his wife.
Yeah.
He can't blame his children. Who's he to blame? Himself.
Right.
For being a weak leader. Who is to blame for all the chaos taking place in the country of Chaz? The mayor. Okay? Who's literally allowing them to do that. She doesn't even think there's anything wrong with it. She's like, oh, it's just a friendly protest. Oh, okay, why don't you go relocate to Chaz then, mayor? You speak of it as if it's like some wonderful thing taking place. Why don't you go ahead and relocate? And why is it that when you go to Chaz, you have to have all these armed guards with you?
Yeah.
If it's so safe. Hypocrite. So the home. How about this? The church. God's not against government in the church.
Right.
Now, let me let you in on a little secret that's not very secret. I'm in charge here.
Yeah.
The pastor is the one who's in charge of the local body of assembly here. He's the under-shepherd under Christ. Well, no, Jesus is the one. Yeah, but he has selected me to be the pastor here. Okay? And you say, well, I don't really like that idea. I kind of like having multiple pastors, and we sit around in a circle on a table and just kind of say, what do you think this verse means? And what do you think this means? And we just kind of all agree on one another. Or how about this? Why don't we have a board of deacons? Not in the Bible. You look at the track record of churches who have a board of deacons. I mean, the pastor's hands are tied. They're arguing about stupid things like what color the carpet should be. They're arguing about, should we allow the pastor to buy sprinklers for the church or whatever? I mean, nonsensical things. Okay? Whereas God says in 1 Peter 5:2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock, the Bible says. So the Bible says that the pastor is supposed to take the oversight. He is the one who oversees the church. Okay? Now, what does this mean? This means we don't take votes. I take recommendations, but I don't take votes. Okay? You say, why? Because of the fact that not everyone here is on the same spiritual level, and not everyone here may have the right motives or agenda. You understand? When you have a church with no leadership, it's always corruption. I know of a church right now in Ohio, the church that we were going to take over, you know, that they're like literally, they got some dude over there who has the keys to the building, and he has basically taken over the church. They, you know, voted in a pastor. He came in, and he's just not letting them lead. He's like, these are my keys, this is my church, I got, you know, the finances. And I saw him on Facebook and I said, you're lucky I didn't take over this church. I was like, if I would have taken over, I would have thrown your hinder parts out like that. Oh, it's not in their church constitution. I still would have done it. It's wicked. They've already got a pastor there. And this novice, envious, just jealous, wicked, self-willed person is not permitting the pastor to even have the keys to the building. Smack that guy across the face. Wicked, folks. It would be like me, like, trying to go home, and my wife was just like, no. What's the password? Take out the trash. We'll just make a deal. You know, break through the window or something. So God is not against government in the home, in the church, and just in government, period. Okay? Romans 13 proves that. Now, we don't have a perfect government. I understand that. Okay? And I understand that. I preached a sermon called The Police in Light of the Bible where I specifically talk about that. It doesn't run perfectly, but you know what? The Roman Empire didn't run perfectly either, and Jesus Christ lived during that time. And he was able to function, win people to Christ, be under subjection, and even win Roman soldiers to the Lord. Okay? But this is an establishment by God in order to supervise and manage civil conflicts. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. What's the point that I was making here? Anarchists don't like any body of government. They despise governments, according to the Bible. Let me say this. The Bible is just timeless, folks. It's timeless. It's always relevant. Okay? Look what it says in verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts. By the way, the way they're operating out there is like a bunch of animals. Because that's how the animal kingdom operates. Whoever's the strongest overcomes the weakest. It says, these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. There's your death penalty. Speak evil of the things which they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Look what it says here. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Amen. Oh, was this written like in 2020 or what? No, It was written thousands of years ago, folks. But look, it's relevant today. God knows what he's talking about. There's no new thing under the sun. There's been people who have been part of the country of Chaz even back then. But they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that counted pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sported themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'm going to read to you from Jude 7. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. So what is a characteristic or an attribute of an anarchist? They hate a governing body. They hate, they despise dominion. They don't want anybody to be over them, okay? Now, anarchism eventually leads to wicked leaders. It's the way it works. You know, the Seattle mayor, Jenny Durkin, obviously is a wicked leader because she's permitting this. But we're talking about within the confines of this so-called country of Chaz, there's people that are rising up because whenever you have a vacuum of leadership, the most wicked people always take over.
Right.
Because they're looking for an opportunity is what they're looking for, okay? The most wicked people seek to take the reins. I'm going to read to you from Acts 17, verse 5. It says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out of the people. Even today, there's literally video of people, of white people, getting beat up in the country of Chaz for being white. You know? Oh, well, but that's okay. Because it's in the country of Chaz. You know? You have violence taking place. You have people being violated in the name of freedom and prosperity and peace and all these things. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. What does God say about this? It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that ye with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. He said, oh, you're just compromising. You're just compromising because you're saying you got to submit to the government. No. The Bible specifically says this is what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
And again, let me reiterate. When the government begins to institute unlawful things that go against the Bible, at that point, we rebel against that.
Amen.
When the Bible tells me I can't preach against Sodom, or excuse me, when the government says I can't preach against Sodomites, I'm going to let it fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll put you in jail. Then throw me in jail.
Yeah.
When the government tries to institute and enforce vaccines, so you have to take the vaccine. You better kill me first.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a vaccine.
Amen.
Okay. When they begin to say, well, no, you need to take it. It's just like, you're going to have to come out. You're going to have to come in here and take me out and force me, pin me down and make me take it because I'm not going to do it. We'll find you. Find me for the rest of my life. It's not happening. Okay? You can't preach the gospel. Look, folks, when the government does stuff like that, it causes God's people to just be even more rebellious sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're about to do some so many marathons then. It's a perfect time now to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? Now look at Romans 13. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but this is important. And this is one of the main factors when it comes to anarchists is they hate a governing body. They hate to be ruled over. Look what it says in Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works. So the people who rule over us, the police, they're not supposed to be a terror unto good works.
Right.
And again, I do not agree with what took place with George Floyd. I think that police officer is wicked for taking the man's life. I don't care what background George Floyd had. The guy died unrighteously. The police officer deserves a just punishment for that. That's murder, folks. But the Bible tells us the rulers are not there for a tariff to good works. You know what the you know what police should do? Is do exactly what they did here in El Monte when we were out soul winning that one night. How many of you remember that? We're out soul winning at night one night, and the police, they drive up, they came up, they flashed their light. I looked at them, and they said, hey, are you guys okay? You say, yeah, we're fine. He goes, okay, you guys be careful out here. Be safe. That's exactly what they're supposed to do. Look after the soul winners.
Good.
They didn't say, hey, you can't be out here late at night, and you're trespassing, and what do you think you're doing? Toss some tracks their way and just run or something? They're supposed to be protecting us. Because we're doing good works. And so who are supposed to be punishing? All these wicked criminals out here? This drunkard that comes back and forth here on the street who assaulted me that one day on a Sunday after church? Rapists and murderers and child molesters? This is who they should be going after.
Amen.
Look what it says. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Amen. Good job soul winning out there, guys. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil, the Bible says. Wherefore, you must be needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So it's telling us that the government is here specifically to what? To pour wrath upon those who deserve wrath. Okay? I spent enough time on that. Go to Genesis 19, if you would. Genesis 19. So anarchism is unbiblical because of the fact that they don't want a governing body over them. They don't want someone telling them what to do. But not only that, number two, anarchism carries out insurrections. This is why it's unbiblical. What is that? It's a violent uprising. So in order for them to have this utopian society, they need to force it upon you by violence. The Bible says in Matthew 11, 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. Now, let me show you one of the greatest examples of these in the Bible. Genesis chapter 19. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is your classic country of Chaz. You say, why is that? Because the country of Chaz is in the hub of sodomy, folks. Capitol Hill is a sodomite aspect of Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's their home base. Bunch of wicked, filthy sodomites there. And, oh man, you're gonna get it. Yeah, it's June, folks.
Yeah.
It's June. Look at Genesis 19. Oh no, they're just trying to peacefully do these things. Did they peacefully try to protest in Genesis 19? Look what it says in verse 5. And they called unto Lot and said unto them, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That doesn't sound peaceful at all. By the way, the Bible is very, very careful to use certain specific language as to not defile the minds of people, right?
Yeah.
But basically what they're saying is, we want to rape these men. The angels. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters. The irony. Which have not known man, let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Oh, wait, Lot is an idiot, okay? He's an idiot. He's like, don't do this wicked thing here. Just take my daughters. Do what you will with them. It's like, what in the world? What's wrong with you? This is what happens when you live in Hollywood for that long. Okay? Your mind becomes twisted. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, referring to Lot, and he will needs be a judge? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. What do you mean worse? I thought it was already bad enough what you were going to do to the angels.
Yeah.
You're planning to do something worse to Lot than you were going to do to the angels? They're full of all unrighteousness. It says, and they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Folks, why is that? Because they're so filthy and perverted and wicked and just demonic They even when they're smitten with blindness where they cannot see, they don't want that to stop them from raping the people within that house. Like, eyes or no eyes, I'm going to find that door. That's what they're doing. They're weary themselves to find the door. Not a peaceful place to live in. Okay? But you know what? I don't see a magistrate in Sodom and Gomorrah either. I don't see rulers in Sodom and Gomorrah because of the fact that this kind of perversion was allowed to go unfettered, unchecked. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah was filled with a bunch of fags from the smallest to the greatest, from the oldest to the youngest. All of them. Therefore, there was not a governing body to put them into check. Okay? Now, this is exactly how anarchists operate, is by violence. Now, you say, well, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. We got to take over the government. We got to bear arms and rise up against the government and take back what's ours. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is a spiritual battle. Okay? This is the spiritual battle right here, is preaching against this nonsense. The spiritual battle is fought when we're out there soul winning. The spiritual battle is fought when you stand for the truth. By the way, not protesting either. I protest every single week. 3 times a week. For an hour each time. That's the manner in which we should protest. But it's a spiritual battle. We're not out there trying to cause an insurrection. Isn't that what these liberal Christians want to say that Jesus did? I mean, even the Jews said that about Jesus. Oh, you just try to cause this insurrection? Lies. All lies. But that is the wicked agenda of these people. Go with me, if you would, to... go to Luke 19. Luke 19. I'm going to breeze through this point real quick. Anarchists reject capitalism. They want common ownership. This is why they are extorting the businesses within the country of Chaz. Okay? They don't want people to work hard. They don't want anybody to work hard. They don't even want to work hard. They're lazy, not diligent. So what they want is for other people to work hard and for them to reap the benefits of that labor. Understand? This is not biblical. Okay? The Bible teaches us that people who are diligent shall be made rich. People who work hard will receive the fruit of their labor. And it's actually a wicked thing when, you know, others seek to take that from you when you've actually labored for that. The Bible actually teaches that in Ecclesiastes. Now, here's point number 4. Anarchists, and here's one of the biggest reasons why anarchism is wicked. Anarchists reject organized religion. So, I don't know... I know I probably didn't have to tell you this. You know there's like no Christians out there, right? Yes. There's probably not one single Christian. And if there is, it's a punk. Okay? Oh, I take that back. There's some sodomite Baptist woman out there in the country of Chaz supporting what they're doing. Evil, folks. And they put that, it's like, oh, she's the pastor of a Baptist. I'm like, oh, why'd you put Presbyterian or something? Put Mormon or something, or Baptist. And let me just say this. I'm speaking for all independent fundamental Baptists when I say that woman's not a Baptist. Right. Nor is she a pastor. Right. Wicked, folks. Anarchists reject organized religion. They hate Christianity. They hate anything having to do with Christianity or the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is rules. The Bible teaches government. The Bible teaches everything the opposite of what they're doing out there. Okay? Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Their religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows and to afflict them. That's what they're doing. Look at Luke 19. Why do they hate organized religion? By the way, what we're doing today, this is organized religion. I love organized religion. I like things when things are organized. I like when the orchestra practices. I like when things start on time. I like how we have two rows here and people sitting on each side. And people are not just like hanging out here and just kind of like, preach on, brother. Like, they're just kind of like, everyone's just kind of doing, no, organize. Let all things be done decently and in order, the Bible says. God is not the author of confusion. Luke 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his servants, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And this is why the country of Chaz hates organized religion. Because folks, Christianity, there's only one God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. There's not many ways to heaven, folks. There's not many ways to have eternal life. Oh, what's right for you may be wrong for me. What's right for me may be wrong for you. You know, we just kind of do whatever we want, and you go ahead and believe what you want. We're all going. It's all the roads lead to heaven. False. Yep. There's only one way. God's way. Well, you know, I don't really believe in hell. You will one day if you keep believing that. Let me just remind you, everyone who's in hell today is a firm believer in the doctrine of hell. Everyone who's in hell today is a firm believer in Jesus Christ now. Now they are. Now they know it was true. And look, what they believe did not determine reality, folks. And they may not like the fact that there's a God in heaven who is the sovereign of this universe, but it's fact. Amen. You know, and look, God is not some dictator. He's a benevolent dictator. But he's not some evil dictator who's just going to force himself upon humanity. False. Whosoever will can come and drink of the water. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He receives humanity with outstretched arms as long as they're willing to believe on Christ. The Bible says that we're accepted in the beloved, which is Jesus Christ. But anarchism says, no, we don't like that. You guys preach against homos. You guys preach against Black Lives Matter. You preach against Antifa. You preach against all these organizations. Yeah, because those organizations are against the Bible. Right. Look around you, folks. Do you think we care whether you're brown, black, white, if you're Asian? No. We have everything here. Because at the end of the day, if I cut you, you bleed the same color red as I do. You know, it's all about the human race. But they say, no. You know, religion is wicked. You know, it's seeking to destroy society and try to change your mind. Yeah, we're trying to change people's minds. Absolutely. It's called renewing your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, the Bible says. Go to Proverbs 11 and we'll finish here. The country of Chaz, woe unto you! Chaz, woe unto Chaz today because they're built upon a faulty foundation and it's going to come crashing down, folks. God's not going to bless that. Here's the last thing. Anarchists rally around the wrong cause. I'm sure there's sincere people out there who are doing this. Most of them are just, you know, this generation of Grand Theft Auto playing, you know, teenagers and all these things who grew up to be adults and they're still a child in the man's body kind of thing. But they're rallying around the wrong cause, folks. The cause that we should be focused on is the cause of Christ. Because that's the only thing that will lead to peace. It's the only thing. Because here's the biggest peace that people, that mankind needs, peace with God through Jesus. The greatest enemy that a human being will ever have this side of eternity is God. Until they get saved. It's your greatest enemy. And you know what? He is the enemy that can destroy both soul and body and hell. But guess what? Once we make peace with God through Jesus Christ, he's our greatest friend. He's our greatest ally, so to speak. Right? And then we can rally around his cause to see other people saved, to pull them out of the fire, to make a difference for eternity. And look, there will be a utopian society one day. The millennial reign.
Amen.
With Jesus Christ. But even then, he's ruling with a rod of iron. Because he's the boss. Well, I don't agree with that. You know, I see a lot of people out there, man. They're banding together, Pastor. There's power in numbers, Pastor. They're banding together. They're joining forces. Well, let's see what the Bible says about that. Because does that really constitute a cause worth dying for? No, look what it says in Proverbs 11:21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. God says, oh, you can band together all you want. You can join hands and sing kumbaya. You can hold hands all across the United States of America and create a line that you can see from space. You can light a candle, thousands can protest, you can agree and band together, but though hand join in hand, if you're wicked, you shall not be unpunished.
Amen.
You can get a million people to agree on a wicked agenda, they're going to be punished.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how many numbers, how many people there are, how many people agree. Because guess what? God doesn't take votes. He's not like, well, there's a million people. Man, that's a lot, man. I guess, man, maybe I should change my laws a little bit, you know? All these people agree with one another. That's not the way it works with God. He says, oh, a million against one? Okay, I win. I vote me. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Now look, folks, we ought to strive together for the faith of the gospel, the Bible says. We ought to join forces as Christians for the cause of Christ. To see people saved. To do missions work. To do great works and exploits for God. Not for this, you know, unrighteous justice system. Forget about all that. Getting people saved, that's where it's at. What's the sermon today? Woe unto Chaz. Woe unto you because you think... You know, these last couple of days, enjoy these couple of days of your so-called freedom. It's not going to last forever. And it's not something that's going to be blessed by God. It's a wicked agenda that God has no part in. Okay? And we, as Bible-believing Christians, need to take this to heart. You know, and recognize that, hey, government is not always bad. Because guess what? The government shall be upon his shoulders, the Bible says. So if you hate the government today, you're really going to hate it then. Because it's someone who's ruling over you. Amen? Woe unto Chaz. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word, Lord. Help us to never be rebellious, Lord. And obviously there's times when the government oversteps its boundaries. And at that point, we need to do that which is right in your eyes. And seek to honor you. But I pray, Lord, that none of us in here would ever have this attitude that we need to join those protesters and join those movements, because a lot of those movements are based upon wicked agendas that no Christian should ever partake of. We need to rally around your cause. And woe unto Chaz this morning for all the wickedness and vile things that are taking place there. It's like the country, it's like the city of Laish. They're dwelling carelessly, but eventually there's not going to be any magistrate to deliver there.